Hey, everybody, we're back. It's us, it's me, it's you. Thanks for joining us. Listening to wherever you are, sitting in your car, sitting in front of your computer, on a plane.
On a train, just so you know.
My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to Carolyn Joe Show. Hey, Carolyn.
Sometimes when you do that opening, I just think a lot of people are like, I've had enough of this show.
I've had enough. I'm leaving. But just to remind everyone, stay, because
we have a special guest.
My name is Joe Carbe. I'm a filmmaker, photographer, writer, whatever you want to call me. I make stories. Across from me is always the best person I've ever met in my whole entire life, Carolyn. Carolyn Bilevsky, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Cool.
I really like this song because I'm digging it because of Tough Enough.
Tough Enough.
Yeah, it's a Tough Enough theme song. It gets me pumped.
You know what's funny is that, like, I've never even heard it beyond the oh part. Well, I don't remember what any of the words are. But who do we have in the studio today?
Oh, man, we have a special guest in studio, direct from Florida. We have Mr. Ben Pinrod, the creator of Awesome Con, direct here, right here. Right in front of us.
How's it going?
It's going good.
It's going well, man. It's happy to have you back,
Ben's
man.
Ben's like cracking up when we're dancing to the song.
do you watch Tough Enough? Did I ask that?
I've seen most of the episodes. I missed a few of them, and I haven't seen the most recent one, but I have seen a few of them.
I feel like, did you watch the other ones? The other Tough Enoughs, like way back in the day, or even 2-3 years ago.
They had one in like 2011. I didn't know about that one. I watched them back in the day, like the first two seasons. I watched like religiously.
Yeah, it's a total different. I feel like it's different now, right?
Yeah.
Because the fan voting, how did they do it in the past?
There wasn't a fan voting in the past.
That's what I mean.
It was like literally this, just like the.
Now the power's in your hands.
Before
man.
It was like Steve Austin. You know, you still had the what's it called, the coaches and stuff like that. But you had like Booker T, Steve Austin, all making decisions.
You know what I love about Tough Enough right now? The opening, and then they're like showing all the people who are like on the show. You know, you have the host, Chris Jericho, and then Paige and Daniel Bryan, and now The Miz.
Yeah.
And I like the shots of them during that opening package. And then like after that ends, it just cuts into Jericho, and he's like introducing the show, and he always looks so good. And he's like really dressed well, and I'm like, damn, look at him, he looks great. Like every time he looks great, or each time I see him, I'm like, how is this possible?
Jericho carries himself really well. He doesn't age.
Yeah. No. He's basically like a wrestling Bon Jovi.
Hey, Carolyn, what's your news?
Oh my gosh. I'm like really pumped today. Like I feel like the ultimate warrior right now. Like, I'm like, ah, it's going all over me. I'm like, the adrenaline. Yes, let's get pumped. You guys, let's get pumped. This Saturday. Yes, this Saturday. You guys, August 15th, 2015, from 7 to 9 p.m., join us. Come to the cartoons exhibit at Politics and Prose Coffee House. You're not going to want to miss out because you're going to have original and limited edition cartoon art hanging on the walls as we speak right now. This is our closing reception. And at this show, you'll be able to view Joe and I's Black Magic Tales original art page. And that's pretty impressive because not many people get to see the original art. And that's exciting. And it was published in Magic Bullet. Not only that, we're going to have wine, lemonade, iced tea, fruit, vegetables, cheese, hummus, and more.
Yeah. And more.
Every single vegetable that's going to be at this show.
You know what, though? You need to have food. You need to have sustainability. And where else do you get
sustainability.
Free food? Where else do you get free food than at this art show? That's why you need to come. That's definitely why you need to come. And it's awesome because I already sold a piece to a woman that lives in Beijing. I mean,
that's really cool. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah, Ben, we're going international.
You're going international in Beijing. I mean, like that's serious.
That's
like
legit.
Yeah, like that. Like
I mean, artwork, I've never been to Beijing.
Your artwork is like better traveled than me. At this
point. I know. I haven't been outside America yet. So I'm like spreading the world of curls everywhere. Yeah. So it's really exciting. You guys, this show is amazing. It's a great show, and it's put on by my pal Teresa Roberts Logan. Thank you for that, Teresa. So yeah, guys, check it out. If you can't join us at the closing reception this Saturday, you can view the show right now as we speak. It's up inside the Modern Times Coffee House, which is inside Politics and Prose. It's at 5015 Connecticut Avenue Northwest. So please join us this Saturday again from 7 to 9 for our closing reception. And you can meet all the artists, hang out, have fun, chat. And again, there's going to be hummus there, so why would you not want to come? Are you a hummus hater? You better not be. You better be loving the hummus. I'll tell you that. And also, vegetable tray? How can you miss out on that? I mean, don't be deprived yourself of a vegetable tray. That's all I have to say about that.
That's really pretty much what it's all about, man.
I mean, that's what it is for me, because that's why I'm going to go.
Where is this vegetables coming from? Giant Safeway?
I don't know, man. I really don't know. But you know, also inside, Modern Times Coffee House is pretty rad. It is. They have tons of great food. It's a good place to be. It's a good little chill spot to hang out. Can do some work if you ever have time to hang out and do some chill work at a coffee shop. I usually work at home.
Did you say Modern Times?
Yeah, Modern Times. That's what it's called.
Modern Times. It is the Modern Times, man.
I don't think I've ever been there. Like, I need
to, have you been to Politics and Prose?
No, it's like on my list of places I need to go.
Oh, yeah.
I need to get them involved with the show.
I think you should.
Yeah.
A lot of intellectuals hang around there. You need to get that crowd.
But, you need to get the intellectuals.
Yeah,
crowd.
You need to get the intellectuals.
I feel like we have them. They just come dressed up as Deadpool. Yeah. Like, you don't realize they're like, this is my day off from being an intellectual.
I mean, I'm not saying that the people that don't already attend AwesomeCon aren't smart or anything, but I'm talking about like
that's what you're saying.
No, I'm talking about like the intellectuals that are like, I'm going to the Politics and Prose to buy my books. I don't even use Amazon. I buy directly from. I support my comic book star. You know, like that type of crowd. Which is a different type of crowd a little bit, but yeah, I mean, I love Politics and Prose. They always put on really great events all the time, Ben. Like, they have superstars coming in all the time. Like, people that write books, BJ Novak or Michelle Obama. Like, they come in to speak. It's amazing. And I met
Michelle
Roz
Obama
Chast
lives,
there.
Like, right down around
I know,
corner,
for
so
her,
like,
it's probably not
it's not
that
even
big
that big
of
a deal. Like, who cares? That's not even, like, a big of a deal.
I mean,
she might just go there.
People.
She might go there weekly, you know?
Yeah.
Didn't she do, like, Christmas shopping there once? Like,
I
saw in the news they're like, like, you know, Michelle Obama, like, and then like showing pictures of her like Christmas shopping. I'm like, this is rude. Like, people are going to see the gifts they're going to get.
Yeah.
Like, you can't take pictures of somebody and put it on the news when they're like Christmas shopping. I'd be like, hey guys, like, I understand you guys want to take pictures and stuff, but like,
you're like I'm Christmas
but,
shopping.
But like, the president like is going to find out what his Christmas present is. And that's not cool. Like, like, we got to surprise this guy one day a year.
I think it's funny whenever they do go out shopping, because in the D.C. area, it's always like they have to shut down all the streets, and then everyone's like... I remember they spent some time at that One More Page bookstore, too, in Arlington, and they... and I remember, you know, it's like they kind of have to like shut down everything, and then they get their photo op at that store, which is really cool, because then everyone can be like, oh, they were there.
Yeah.
And they were also at Dairy Godmother in Alexandria to get some frozen custard. That's cool that they're like supporting all like the local shops. Yeah. I really like that. I dig it. I love local stuff.
So one of the things that like I was really entertained by, because you know, like this year's AwesomeCon is done, but before AwesomeCon, you guys were on the what was the radio show? What was the NPR?
Oh, it was the Kojo Nandi show.
And like before when you guys announced that you're going to be on that show, I was always thinking like, are you going to do, because you know on NPR everyone speaks with that sort of like
the
golf voice.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a nice pass.
Yes.
Congratulations.
So did you feel like there was that little pressure to be like calm, like I don't know, how's that environment? Did it force you to be like, yeah, this is going to be a nice show, and you know what I mean?
I was just I found myself like just thinking about everything I was going to say really hard before I said it. Like, like I did not want to like stick my foot in my mouth and have like that. Like that many people have never heard anything I had to say.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to say something that, and then later be like, oh, that's not what I meant. Or like, oh shoot, I probably offended, you know, all of these people.
Yeah.
Like how I just offended how AwesomeCon people.
Yeah.
He needs to be more intellectual.
Yeah.
Like,
come on.
Jeez, Carolyn. Jeez.
I'm going to get all the hate mail for it. But send it all.
Didn't you they read like your tweet on air or something?
I sent an email.
An email.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is from Carolyn. And I'm like, I know who this is.
I like how like I left out the last name and everything.
I
they're
still knew.
Like, yeah.
I wanted to be like, I wanted to yell like, I know her.
Like, that's funny. But you know what else I loved about this show? was when Esther was giving her book recommendations, and she kind of asked permission to say a certain book. Because they were like, well, what books are good?
She asked permission by saying the name.
Yeah, she was like, she's like, no, but first she was like, am I allowed to say this?
So I don't know.
And then she paused,
right?
And she was like,
she paused for like a half a second.
And then she was just like, bitch planet. And like, she said it like so lovely. And I told her like at AwesomeCon afterwards, I was like, I loved how you were just like, am I allowed to say this? Bitch planet. Like it was like the most lovely way of saying that. And then the host like didn't kind of know what to do. She was just like, let's move on with the show.
So to give you like the inside scoop, this is what happened is okay. Like she said it and then everybody, so there's like in the room is there's the host whose name I can't remember. Sorry. And then there's Esther, and then and she's farthest from me, and then next to me, and between both of us is Mark Pellegrino from Supernatural, and then I'm
and
on,
Lost,
and Lost, yeah. And then I'm on the end, uh-huh. And then there's a bunch of people in a control room that are
how
like
are their
they're watching, and so she said it, and everybody like looks around, and like I looked in the control, everyone looks in the control room, and then everybody in the control room, their eyes are wide, and they're like and they don't like not like this is bad, but like I don't think anybody knew if it was okay,
yeah.
and then the host just like picks up on that, like it took her a good like 3 or 4 seconds,
yeah,
and then
she was just like,
and
let's
like,
continue,
yeah, she's
that
like,
was the most classic moment.
I think she was just like, let's keep talking,
yeah, but just to give you the inside scoop, everybody yeah. freaked out for like 3 seconds.
Were they like waving their arms around and stuff?
No, everybody just kind of looked around like
like
they didn't know
like
if it was okay or not.
But there's no like delay. There's no like delay, right?
That's NPR. No,
it's just
no delay.
Straight up, right?
I think it's okay to say. I mean, I am not like the FCC or anything, but I feel like it's not.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a name of a book. Like, how else are you supposed to censor
it? It's a proper noun. It's a name of a book. It's just, and it's not like, it wasn't like F word planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
and also the way she said it was like so pleasant. I feel like she wasn't trying to be like, bitch planet, you know?
Yeah.
But that was her favorite book of that time. What was she supposed to say? You know?
I mean, how else are you supposed to answer that? She was being honest and she was polite about it. So I feel like she's okay, but that was the most funniest part for me. Bitch planet.
I went back and re-listened to it a few weeks ago, and that was the best part.
It is the best part. It is classic. I loved it. It was great. It was so great to actually tell her that I loved that too. Like within 24 hours, I was just like, yeah, that ruled.
So would you say that you're like, I feel like the band that was doing press before AwesomeCon compared to now, are you getting comfortable talking about yourself and what you do?
So
because before you come from that salesman background, so you had that comfort zone, right? But
I had a little bit of a comfort zone. So we've been doing press since before the first show. Like we've always gotten like some newspaper coverage for, I mean, the first show we ever ran.
Yeah.
I don't know, were you guys there in Annapolis? Were you there?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, like the first one we ever ran, like in the Elks Lodge. We were in the newspaper for that.
Man, I don't know if we were at the Elks Lodge one.
The little tiny Elks Lodge. It was a crammed full of people. It was awesome. It was pretty cool.
You know what? I've always wanted to do a comic show in Elks Lodge, and I never have.
We've run two of them. We ran one in the.
How did I miss this?
We ran one in Waldorf and in Elks Lodge too.
Can you do another show in an Elks Lodge?
You
I think you're like beyond
you should just
it,
have the
but
Elks
like
Lodge.
I kind of want to do.
We're
one
looking at doing a show in a fire hall.
Oh, I've done one in a fire.
Well,
hall
I've done
before.
Yeah, but this is like a really nice fire hall.
Okay.
So we're looking at that, and then also in an armory.
Oh,
so
I like that.
We've got these.
But
like,
can you please do an Elks Lodge one?
I know.
You're my only hope for being able to achieve my dream of having
an
Elks Lodge.
We've outgrown. I mean, like even like an Annapolis Comic Con or Southern Maryland Comic Con is too big for an Elks.
You're getting
no
too
Elks
big
Lodge
for
run.
Your britches.
Too big for Elks Lodge. What is it? What exactly is an Elks Lodge?
It's like a little
there?
Club.
It's like a club, but they have banquet space that they run on. So like you could have your wedding reception there. And like when we did Cub Scouts in Waldorf, we would have our big annual banquet.
You know what it reminds me of? Like the Honeymooners. Remember they have their little like club?
Yeah,
did
it's
you
like,
guys watch the Honeymooners? Like, it's like one of my favorite shows. But they have like their little like secret
it's
club,
like the,
and it's like in the Elk Lodge type thing. Bless you.
But it's like on the Flintstones. Bless like you. They have the they have like the Royal
Someone
Order and the Water Buffalo.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's like
they have like their little club.
It's
know?
Like the Elks, and then they have the Lions Club. They have the Knights of Columbus and Knights of Pythias.
Yeah.
They have the The Freemasons, they had the Rotary. They got
Can we do a comic show at a Freemason building?
Yeah,
that would be crazy.
They're all secret. Underground.
It would be like a secret club and need a decoder pin to get in.
They're like all totally, I love like they're actually like totally not secret. Like,
yeah, have you been to the Masonic Temple in Alexandria?
No, but okay. I've seen it because it's the biggest thing in Alexandria.
It's worth going to. I'll just give you that tip.
Let's check it out.
I liked it.
I like when I fly out of DC, like you always like, see it like you're kind of at eye level at the top of it right out, you know, right after you take off. It looks really cool.
It is pretty pimp, I gotta say.
Yeah,
so I
there's like one whole level where it looks like you're in Egypt.
They're like obsessed with Egypt.
It's really crazy.
I don't understand where that comes from.
I think they just throw shit together and be like, we're making a club.
It might have just been the time. Like, I think maybe people were just obsessed with Egypt. Like, it's like the city of Alexandria is named after Alexandria in Egypt.
That makes sense, yeah.
And like,
now that you say, I actually think of
there were, you know, and like Memphis, Tennessee
is
named after Memphis, which is a famous Egyptian city.
Well, that's true, yeah.
And
I didn't know any of this. Yeah. I'm now learning that.
You know, and I think there was a period in time when, like, Egypt was just like
popular.
Like, it was really popular. Yeah,
that makes sense. Then
pimp.
I mean, yeah, it is a cool place. I've never been there.
I don't think Americans are wanted.
We're not wanted there. Would I blend in a little better? No, they would still pick me up.
I think it's cool now.
Have you ever been there?
No, I haven't been there.
Where have you been outside of America?
So I have.
Because you travel a lot.
I travel a lot. I've traveled all over America, and I have not really that well traveled outside of America, but. In the past, I guess a few years ago, we went on a cruise. We went to the Bahamas, which is technically out of America, but it's not really.
Yeah,
and then
it's like a safe.
And then I drove to Vancouver from Seattle a few years ago and spent like an afternoon in Vancouver, Canada.
That's cool.
But
it counts.
But then
you crossed the border.
Yeah, spent a few days in Calgary this year.
Oh wow!
I went to the Calgary.
The Stampede.
It's
like really country there, right?
It's like booming. They have like all this oil and stuff, so it's like booming. Their city's kind of cool. It is very country. I ate steak like every meal. I got, you know, like there's lots of leather goods sold at their Comic-Con.
Yeah.
It's very similar to in feel to like Denver. I don't know if you've ever been to Denver.
No.
Yeah.
But it's just on the side of the Rocky Mountains in a flat area. That's exactly what Calgary looks like.
But Teresa used to live there, so I've heard a little bit about that.
But it's really cool. They worship, you know, Bret Hart.
What about Wayne Gretzky?
I don't think he's from Calgary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just know he's Canadian.
Yeah. And then,
that's like the little known facts about Canada is like Mounties, maple syrup, and Wayne Gretzky.
And Smallville.
Yeah.
And everyone thinks that like the Canadians are really nice people, but then I'm like, well, their sport is very violent.
Well, they're very. They're super nice though.
Maybe they take all their aggression out like with their sports.
Yeah. They are mean. Maybe they're just mean to each other, but they're like nice to everybody else.
Maybe. That
but
could be it.
I also, so after AwesomeCon, we did like a big family trip and we went to Europe. And so after AwesomeCon this year, so we flew to London.
Were all these places you've already wanted to go?
Yeah, I guess so. We wanted to book a cruise in the Bahamas because we had done so much work leading up to the con that like I just needed to chill out and not do anything and to be like on a cruise, like you can't use your phone on a cruise.
Really? I didn't know that.
Well, it's just because you're out in like in the middle of the ocean.
You can't really,
your phone doesn't work.
See, why don't they have Wi-Fi?
They do, but it's very expensive and they're like,
oh,
make
you pay
like
it?
Per megabyte. Like,
what?
Yeah. So
how do they even check that? Like, do they just
because you do it through their thing?
Okay.
Yeah.
And they just charge you. Okay.
Yeah, and they charge you, and it's like, and it's really slow and terrible anyway. So like, you can't. It takes forever to like even check your email. So we looked at the Caribbean cruises, and they were very expensive because AwesomeCon was like the week, the cruise we would have been going on would have been like the week after school ended. So.
Yeah.
You know, what would have
they're
been,
like, raise the rate.
There was, like, three times as expensive as they were, like, in May and June. They're three times as much. So we found a less expensive cruise in Europe. And, you know, I guess kids were still in school in Europe. They got out of school later. I don't know. But they, so we were like, okay, let's do this European cruise. And the cruise sailed from Barcelona. And then we're like, how do we get to Barcelona? And you pretty much have to go through London or Paris to get to Barcelona. So we're like, well, if we're going to go to London or Paris anyway, why don't we just spend a few days there? So he was like, how often are you in Europe to do this? So
you just got
to
enjoy all that.
So we spent 3 days in London and flew down to Barcelona. did the cruise, and the cruise went up through Italy, a little bit of France, a little bit of Spain, and dropped us back at Barcelona. And then we flew from Barcelona to Paris and spent a few days in Paris, and we did Paris Disneyland, which is like, we're like really, really obsessed with Disney and Disney parks.
I always wondered that, like, when did this all start, this obsession? Because pretty much you live super close now. Super close since the last time you're on the show.
We moved down to Orlando just to be close to Disney.
Just to be close to Disney.
Wait, so a question. Why are you not a member of D23?
I don't know why. We have never joined.
What is, for the people who don't know, what is D23?
That's a Disney's official fan club.
Official? They have so many perks
with it.
Yeah, and they have a convention every 2 years just for members of this fan club.
Why is it 23?
I believe Walt started Mickey Mouse in 1923.
Okay.
So they're like, if you're like a big Disney fan, there's like significant numbers, and 23 is probably, there's, you know, 23 is very significant. 1955 is when Disneyland opened. 1971 is when Walt Disney World opened.
And this isn't some sort of club that you can just sort of, and you're sporting right there.
Look, say,
you Walt got Disney all over. World. It's all over your.
What did it say? I'm looking at my hoodie. Does it say 71 on it somewhere?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Like,
so,
pretty much right now, you're sporting everything that is Disney.
Oh, yeah, because Star Wars.
Star Wars,
too.
Yeah.
Star Wars.
What are your shoes?
You're walking for Disney. Yeah.
Like, I feel like
he's wearing, like, Daffy feet.
Yes.
That's crazy because, like, you can't really just buy your way into this club. You, like, do you have to earn it? What's going on?
Oh, no. D23 is a fan club. The you might be thinking of Club 33, which is a different thing.
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
I don't think you know the ways of Disney.
I don't know. I actually don't know the ways of the Disney
club. D23 is just a fan club that anybody can join. And it's like,
okay.
I think they have a free membership level, and then they also have like a paid membership where you get, they mail you stuff.
But you're not part of this club?
Yeah, I'm amazed. Really, like, seriously, it's like mind blowing that I'm like, what?
I looked at the benefits of it, and it just didn't. It wasn't like that. It wasn't anything we were really that into at the time. And I wanted to sign. My plan was I was going to sign up for it in time to do the D23 convention. But I guess I
maybe you can do it in 2 years.
Yeah, I'll do it in 2 years. I've got it's actually this coming weekend, and I'll be at Intervention in Rockville. Okay.
So when did all this, like, you know, for you with Disney? Because I feel like that's for you to be that close to Disney. You've been to all of them so far, right? In America,
yeah. I've been
outside of America, except for like Japan.
Yeah, I haven't done the Asian ones. So I've been to all the other Disney parks.
Like, what about all this that's like so appealing to you?
So
how did it all start?
I was like, you know, when I was a kid, I really wanted to go to Disney World, and you know, like, you know, that's like a normal vacation.
Yeah,
kids take,
like any kid would.
But like my family was like really poor, and we never did any vacations.
Because how much are those tickets anyway?
Expensive.
They're expensive, and the trip itself is expensive. And like we never stayed in hotels. Like, that's, you know, I'd stayed in a hotel very, you know, until I was an adult. You know, very few times had I ever actually, you know, stayed in a hotel. Like, we, you know, that was, we did not have the money for that type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, that was like a, you know, we would, if we went somewhere on, you know, we would have vacations, but it would be like family vacations, and we'd all sleep at like a relative's house.
Yeah.
And we'd all like just sleep on the floor.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd all pile in, and, you know, we did not do like hotel vacations ever. And so I always wanted to do it. And, you know, it was like totally not just, it was just not going to happen. And then, I was delivering newspapers when I was like 12 years old. And when you deliver newspapers, this was in Annapolis, Maryland, it was the Capital newspaper.
Yeah.
And when you deliver newspapers, part of your job is you got to sign people up for new subscriptions. And they ran a promotion, like, it was all spring long, and whoever, you know, like whichever, like the top 20 kids who sold the most subscriptions got to go to Disney World. So like,
that's
I busted my ass for months, and I'm like I'm out pounding the pavement, like selling subscriptions every night, you know, for like 2 months.
And was that easy or was that difficult? You know, well, trying to just, I was, have to sign them up, right? Or
yeah, well, I was pretty good at it, and you know, so I was always like, you know, I always, if I had like good motivation, I could, you know, sell new subscriptions. But it was like, it was a lot of work, and I had to, you know, I had to go to like all these different neighborhoods, because like I had exhausted my neighborhood by that point.
And you had to basically, you just had to be the highest, you know, the highest one out of your group, or
I don't know what it was. We had to sell a certain number. We had to be in like the top number or whatever. But I got it. I did it. And so,
do you know how many that was? Was it like over 1,000 or something like that?
No. It was probably like 20 or 30 plus or something, or maybe like 20 per month or something like that.
That's a lot.
And, you know, it was working hard trying to get like two or three every time I went out, you know, after like my homework was done and stuff.
Yeah.
And then.
What was it? So it was like a, what, just like two t- family vacation to Disney?
No, this was just me. So
it was just you, one so ticket they, to go Disney.
So they piled, piled all the kids and a few chaperones into a bus and drove down like overnight to Orlando. And then we got into a hotel and there was like four kids per room. And there was like these two like older kids who were really nasty. And then, like me and some like other kid who was my age, who was like, this kid was really shy and weird.
And all these people like sold the subscriptions.
Yeah. All these people.
So it wasn't just some random kids.
No. And so like they, you know, everybody was like, you know, had been delivering newspapers. And then we went to the Magic Kingdom for one day. And then the next day, which is one of the theme parks in Disney World. And then the next day we went to, MGM Studios, which is now Disney's Hollywood Studios. And then the last day we spent a half day in Epcot, and then we went back home and got back like early the next morning or something.
And these are the first times you ever were in any of them, right?
Yeah, and I had never like gone anywhere without my parents before. And
what grade was this again?
I was like
roughly
I was probably 12 years old.
Okay,
that's a good age too. Yeah, because that's just like a, you know, that's the next one's a 13.
I had like all this savings that I had saved from like delivering newspapers, and I spent all of it. I spent like $1,000.
What did you buy?
Oh, I was just buying everything. I had cash on me, and I was just like,
oh my goodness.
I bought like t-shirts. I had this awesome Yoda t-shirt from the Star Tours ride. I had this really cool like Disney.
Do you still
World
have them?
No, I don't have them anymore. I had I bought a bunch of t-shirts. I bought like this like, you know, stuffed animal. I bought a sombrero in Mexico and Epcot. I bought like a toy gun. I mean, I bought so much
crazy
stuff. I went totally crazy. And I've like never had a savings since then. Like,
it reminds me of like, I remember at Chuck E. Cheese once we got a lot of tickets for whatever reason and it was like going crazy, but then we could really only buy like one little dingy plastic toy, but I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
It was just like going nuts over that.
So that's pretty crazy because like one, you won the contest to go to a place you've always wanted to.
Yeah, then that's amazing.
Second is without parents.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was cool.
How
and having $1,000 in cash.
Yeah, $1,000.
I don't know.
Cash.
It might have, you know, it might have been like $300. I don't know.
But
it
felt
like
$1,000.
Back then, that's like $1,000.
Yeah, that's like a wad of cash, though.
But like, how did they sort that out? Were you just walking by yourself, or were you in groups?
We stayed with our groups, and it was like, I think there was a kid who I had met on other like outings from the paper routes and stuff.
So did like, they have like a plan? Like, okay, everyone, we're going to do these rides first.
No. Well, we just had to meet. We had to meet back at the bus at a certain time.
Okay, cool.
And Ben, you know what else is cool? Yeah. Walt used to be a paper delivery boy too.
What? That's awesome.
Connection.
Yeah. Oh, I remember.
Connection.
I've read about that. I actually have read about that. That was in the so in Disney's Hollywood Studios. There's a thing called One Man's Dream, which is all about like Walt Disney's life. And I think they're actually about to close it, but they're gonna build a
shrine.
They're gonna build a Pixar land over there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but so after that, I just always loved Disney World, and I wanted to go back. And then when my wife and I got married, we'd had our honeymoon in Disney World because we both wanted to go, and we ended up we just loved it, and we had so much fun. And my wife ended up getting a job down there, and we moved down right after that.
That's awesome.
And we spent a year living in Orlando, and my wife worked there. And I had an annual pass. I probably went like just about every other day.
Oh my gosh!
Because that's how you should do it, really.
Well, I didn't get my driver's license until we had lived in Orlando for about 6 months, and I was like 22 years old at the time. Before I got my driver's license, so I had to wait for her to get off of work. So I worked at TGI Fridays, like right across the street from downtown Disney, and so I'd walk. From my work, I'd walk over to like where the downtown Disney buses were, and then I'd take a bus to one of the theme parks, and then I'd just go in and I'd wait for her to get off of work, and I'd just like ride all the rides and stuff. And
I'm like
a crazy completist, like OCD thing. So like I just got out one day. I'm like waiting for her to get off work. I'm like, I got like an hour and a half. I pulled out the map. I crossed off everything I hadn't done, and then I did everything else. And so, you know, like, so I keep a list, like, you know, if they install anything new in Walt Disney World, like, I have to go do it. And so I've done every, you know, quote unquote attraction. at Walt Disney World, which is like all the rides and shows and stuff like that. And then I'm working on the list of restaurants. I'm probably a little over halfway through all
the
restaurants.
You're working on the list of restaurants? That's crazy.
Yeah, so they've got a lot of restaurants, probably over 100 restaurants. And I've probably done over half of them.
I feel like you need to have a Disney blog or some type of like a diary account of like everything that you do.
I thought about it. Like there are there's like other super fans. There's a lot of super fans, honestly. There's a lot. And when like I meet one, like we know, like we're like, we start talking about it and then like you realize like, oh, this is another Disney person.
Mm-hmm.
But how can you pick up on that?
Well, we start talking about it and then like neither one of us is weirded out by the other one.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, you're like, you're just as freaky as
you're
I
just
am.
As weird. But you know, we're like totally obsessed with all of it. And we, you know, we probably go down to one of the parks or something about at least once a week.
Is there one, like you chose Disney World over land?
Well, Disneyland's in California.
Yeah, but was there a, do you have a preference though between the two? Or is it just because one's closer?
Well, Disney World's a lot bigger and it's weird. So I think for most people, it's probably whichever one they go to first is kind of like home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of like East Coast, West Coast.
Yeah.
Pick your side.
Yeah. So, but for me, I think I like Disneyland a lot. And in the past few years, I spent a little bit of time in Disneyland. And I've been there twice this year, actually. So,
do they have Cars Land installed yet? Because last time
I was there,
they were. That's what I want. That's what I want to see.
It's the best thing ever. I think they're going to bring it to Florida because it's so good.
They should, because, like, I saw them, like, I guess, what year were we there? 2000.
Dude, I gotta say, it was probably, to me...
They built it in, like, 2012, 2013. No, yeah. 2012, 2013
was
when they built it.
It was 2012, I think. I don't even remember, honestly, when we went... It might have been... Wait, 2000... okay, I'm making this all up. Whenever the Pee Wee Herman show... I went to see Pee Wee when he was doing his his live theater in L.A.
I don't remember that. Oh. I don't know.
Well, they had like the DVD out for it, but it was like, I don't know what the official title was, but Pee Wee's Playhouse Live.
Yeah.
One of your guests.
Yeah, because they did it on Broadway, and then would they take it to LA? Is that what happened?
No, it was in LA first.
Oh, and then they took it to Broadway.
That was the trial run for Broadway.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when they first announced that, I was like, damn.
Yeah, Phil Lamar was Cowboy Curtis.
Curtis. Yeah. Yeah.
And
but not on the live show, on the... On the live show. Sorry, I was getting confused.
Not on TV show.
No, the TV show, it was Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah. Yes, but that's what I was getting at. When I was in the lobby for that show, Lawrence Fishburne was there. And I was like, what? I was like, that's the original Cowboy Curtis.
So I've actually spoken to Phil Lamar about, like, when they did it on Broadway, like, he had to move. Like, he's lived in L.A. I believe he's lived in L.A. his whole life. He's from L.A., I think. But he had to move to New York for a few months, and he was like... You know, he was like, man, I don't want to move to New York, but like, how many chances do you get to be on Broadway? Like, you have to do it. So he had to like leave his family behind and go to New York.
Well, it's only for a few months. You knew
it's
it was
work,
a limited
you know.
Engagement.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's cool. Cause I talked to Phil Lamar about it too. I was like, yes, but I'm so glad that he's at Awesome Con too.
Yeah. He's been to every Awesome Con. So I'm like, I feel like we have to keep bringing him back. I love it. Like, yeah.
He has to be there all the time, or else it's not awesome.
He's like your Tommy Dreamer, man.
Yeah, and I see him. Like, I'll see him at other cons. I'll be like, hey Phil, what's up? I feel like we're friends now. We spend some time together. It's really, you know.
He's a cool guy.
He's
like,
he was actually
like one of the favorite people I've talked to that like guests at shows. So
he's a real fan. He goes on the exhibit hall and buys stuff and shops.
I see him walking around.
And he knows comics. Like, he really knows comics. And he's just a real fan, and he totally gets it, and he loves to do Comic-Cons because that means he gets to go to Comic-Cons.
Yeah.
And that's super, like we have some really cool guests who are really great personalities and who really love their fans and want to be at these shows because they have fans, but Phil Lamar really wants to be there.
Yeah. And like, he would be going there if it wasn't.
Yeah, he would be attending those shows, and I mean, I've seen other celebrities that attend cons on their own, but... He probably was one of them.
Yeah.
But now he's like, I get to go all over the country and not just like when it comes to my hometown or something like that.
Yeah.
I think the Pee Wee's Playhouse, if my memory's not mistaken me, I think it was like January 2010 when it was in LA.
They probably would have been building Cars Land then.
That was when the Cars Land was happening, and I was like, man, I want to see it. But they only showed like sketches up on like billboards.
So I'm going to tell you, Ben, that visit to Disneyland was probably, it was one of the best, but also probably one of the worst experiences of my life, because we went, what was it, January?
Yeah.
We went in January, and there, of course, at that time, there's like no lines, but it was like raining really bad.
Yeah,
and it never rains.
It only rains in LA when I go.
So I was like, oh, this is like, it's so like, it was like, this is supposed to be the happiest place on earth, but it looks all LA and all California just looks sad when it's raining.
It looks horrible.
Now it looks real sad. And then my umbrella broke, so I had no umbrella.
That's the saddest thing
it
of
is.
All.
Like, it literally was that moment.
It like flipped over.
Carolyn was there, that moment where it flipped over and then the head of it snaps.
It was
and I was like, gosh.
But the best.
All these princesses underneath the water, and I can't even do it.
But we made a good time.
But there's no lines though. It was
no
crazy.
Lines.
No lines.
We just went crazy. But they did shut down the teacups. I was like excited to be able to ride the teacups.
There's
they
no roof over them in Disneyland, is there?
I don't think so. So but it was because of the rain. They shut down a few attractions.
So in like Walt Disney World in Florida, like it rains every day. So
yeah.
It's a little bit different. In California, everything's outside. Like all of their eating places are outside. And in Florida, not so much. You
dude,
can't
it was
that.
Like pouring. It was like legit, like
but also,
Florida weather.
We did like the log thing, and then we got wet in that anyway, so it didn't really matter.
Yeah, but that was crazy. That log one with those bears that are like I forget what it was.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
But
it's like the one that the racist one.
The racist bears.
Brer Bear.
Yeah, Brer Bear.
Dude,
yeah.
Like at the top of that.
You did the Splash Mountain. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at the top
but
of that,
that's scary.
When it gets starts, like all the bears are all like hallucinating and gets all crazy up there. And I'm like, I've never been there before. I'm like, what is going on, dude?
And then they have like one of them tied up, like about to be burned at the stake.
Yeah.
Like,
you think that's dark? Did you guys ride Mr. Toad's Wild Ride?
Did we?
I don't know.
We actually tried to do everything because there's no line.
Yeah. So, no, but the one that we got wet in was a different log one.
We were riding stuff. We didn't even know what it was. We're like, there's no line. Let's go.
The one, there was like one with a raft that you totally got soaked in.
That's in Disney's California Adventure across the way. Yeah.
That one. Whatever that is.
I forget what it's called, but yeah, okay. I know that one.
But I guess it was Splash Mountain with the crazy ass bears.
Yeah. So Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, and I don't know if it's a movie or what it was, but it's this ride that I guess takes you through what happens in the movie or TV show or whatever it was, but you're driving in a car and I guess Mr. Toad's driving, so he's driving all crazy and I don't know if he's drunk or what, but it's like,
oh my God.
At the end of the ride he crashes and dies, and
what?
The end of the ride is him going to hell. This is like one of the best rides in all of Disneyland. As you die and go to hell at the end of
it's
it.
It's only at Disneyland? It's not at Disney World?
Yeah, you don't have it at Disney World anymore. They replaced it with the Winnie the Pooh ride.
You don't go to hell in Winnie the Pooh ride.
From my pictures from my trip to Disney World as a kid, I saw Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Like, I found the pictures last year, and I had taken a picture of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, but I didn't actually go on it, I guess, in Disney World.
I want to do that and then go to hell with Mr. Toad.
I think it's hilarious. I think there's the amount of pictures of you, what ride is it? Where you have like it almost looks like every single time you take a photo on this ride is like you're sleeping, but it's not one.
Oh no, it's every ride.
Every ride
with a photo. Like I know where the cameras are. It's every ride. So in Disney World, it'd be like Space Mountain, Splash Mountain, Rock and Roller Coaster.
So you legit can just
know
at that moment to look like. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. They're all in really predictable places except the Space Mountain cameras in the beginning of the ride, which is, I don't know why.
So at this point, do you really have like a favorite, a go-to time or, you know, moment of any one of the Disney like places?
Yeah. So my favorite ride is the Jungle Cruise.
What is that?
So the Jungle Cruise is a boat ride in Magic Kingdom and Adventureland in both Disneyland and Disney World, and it's a ride through the river, like four different rivers and jungles in the world, and they have like animatronic animals and stuff like that, and the skippers, the drivers of the boat, tell really corny jokes. and we've memorized all of the jokes. And
Wait, are these real people?
They
tell just the same
jokes?
Not all the time. They're a little bit different sometimes.
There's like a paddle and they're like moving the paddle.
No, that's the Davy Crockett canoes. Explorer canoes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dude, there's so much.
And that's only in Disneyland. And those are really cool. And I actually just found out from a guy who's in the, he's one of the Cub Scout dads. And he works at Disney World. And apparently they still have the Explorer canoes at Disney World. Like they have the actual canoes, and they have like for people who work at the park, they get them, and they have like a race league where they race these canoes.
What?
Like in different divisions. Like this guy's in, I don't know what division he is in. Let's say he's in like security. I don't remember, but They'd like, so like the security would have a team, like a softball team, but they're like racing these canoes around the rivers of America in the Magic Kingdom. And like, they, I guess they go out early in the morning before the park opens and like race.
Man, you should get in on that, man.
I don't work there.
You know what I like? When you swipe your badge, it does like a little magic wand sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Was that ever a thought? You're like, hey, why not just, you know, when you're younger, why not just work at like one of these parks? Have you ever worked at a theme park in general?
No. So when we first moved down, I had long hair and a beard.
You had like metal hair. You looked like a metal guy.
Oh, yeah. And so Disney has very, very strict policies on how their employees can
really
look.
What are these?
The grooming.
It's called the Disney look, and
the Disney look,
and they just started allowing like light beards, like yours. Probably you probably have too much beard for
at this point.
Yeah. Too much beard for Disney. Look.
I barely have one.
So you got too much in the goatee there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But you have to keep it really trimmed. Yeah, you have to keep it really trimmed.
And they're only probably allowing that because beards are like kind of
but that's only within the past 2 or 3 years. So before, like, no beards.
Clean shaven.
Yeah, you had to be clean shaven. You could have a little mustache. And
just to look like Walt.
Just to look like Walt, exactly.
Now, a small little sliver.
You could do it because you couldn't go past the corner of your lips. And
that's in honor of Walt.
Yeah, and the your hair couldn't be, you know, long if you're a guy. And, like women aren't allowed to have, like, unnatural hair colors.
Unnatural.
They're not allowed to wear, like,
what about Ariel?
No purple.
What about Ariel?
She's a natural redhead. Yeah. Well, no, like it can't be a hair color that isn't like, natural. Like
purple,
it can't
or
be
pink
or green
like
or something
like
that.
Which is in fashion now, but
Well, you can't do that at Disney World, I guess.
Not allowed.
Not on Disney.
So
those are strict rules.
But
man,
I wasn't prepared to cut my hair for to go with
I don't know. Because you had long hair.
I had long hair, but they
But were you if you didn't have that?
I did think about auditioning for a band that didn't have that it was like a rock band, and so it didn't have as strict of a policy. I would have been able to keep my hair and my beard
like a rock band at Disney.
Yeah, they have it's. I believe they still play there, and I'm sure the members have all rotated out. You know, that was 10 years ago, but it's called Mulch, Sweat, and Shears. It's
what
the theme. So it's a band up there in Disney's Hollywood Studios, and they drive like a the premise is that they are a bunch of landscapers, and then like their car will just like break down in the middle of the street in the same spot every day, and then they're like, well, we can't get our car. Like, and then one guy will be like, I can fix the car, and they're like, well, we got all our instruments, let's play some sweet rock songs. And so and then they play like cool covers, and it's really cool. And like I don't know, like I wanted to go audition, but then I chickened out.
That would have been awesome.
It would have been really cool, but I probably wouldn't have gotten it. But you know, I was like, I didn't. Looking back, I was probably better at guitar than I thought I was.
I mean, I felt like if that was your in, if that was a in, that would have been the in.
Yeah. It would be interesting to know the secret life of Disney employees, like the tunnels and everything.
Oh, yeah. Like, I've done a backstage tour that goes down there. Yeah.
What is it like down there?
It's not that cool. I mean, it's like...
It's not that cool.
I have like this fantasy in my head of like what goes on.
It just looks like the inside of like an office building, but it's kind of, you know, like... But it's like in a base. It's like a basement of a hospital.
Is it like? Have you been to the Library of Congress tunnels? Is it like?
Yeah, but like since the public goes in them, they actually keep them nice. Like the tunnels at Disney World are like, you know,
they're just like dirty. Is it like?
Well, it's not
going
dirty, but it's just like nobody cares how it looks. And there's like, you know, like posters up on the walls like "Be safe at work" or like, you know.
Are they designed like Disney like?
No, they're just they're completely utilitarian. And like
that's interesting though in its own way.
But I mean they're cool. You can get from one side of the park to the other really fast.
Yeah.
So now that you like you live how far away from Disney at this point?
I live
like you said 2 miles?
I live 2 miles from the castle.
From the castle?
Yeah.
Like from exactly where the castle is?
Yeah, it's directly 2 miles south of my house.
So have you, because you get to see the fireworks like or you hear them or see them.
We can see them from our house. Like my office where I work, and I'm usually working like late at night. Like, you know, I'll get up and work in the morning and then I'll like take a nap and then I'll work through the night. And then...
You make your own hours.
I make my own hours. But I can see the fireworks out of my window.
Is this something that you feel like you either one get sick of or you just keep on enjoying it? Because that's a lot of fireworks, man. Do you hear them or do you?
Yeah. No, I don't get sick of them. Like we realized a long time ago that I'm, you know, like my wife and I, we're not the type of people who are going to get sick of that stuff.
Yeah.
Some people probably couldn't handle going to Disney World every single day. We could.
It is a pretty magical place.
No, I could, though.
How often do you go?
At least once a week.
Okay.
To like one.
Yeah, you got to make use of your pass.
Yeah, we've got the annual pass for water parks too. So we do there's two water parks.
Cool. So that's what's amazing. It's like pretty much it's not just like the parks. It's like really the town.
It's a lifestyle.
It's all of that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah. I mean, and then like all the people around us are people who work at the parks and stuff.
Is there anything strange you've seen like in the parks since now that you're pretty much intertwined? You see it every single week. Like, with, like, some of the characters that are being played by, or you see any of, like, the princesses, you're like, that's not right.
Well, yeah, we'll pick some stuff out like that sometimes. We saw an alligator in the Rivers of America.
A real alligator?
Yeah, this was July 4th, 2004. We saw a gator in the water, right, like near Tom Sawyer Island.
Is he not supposed to be there? I don't know.
No.
I don't think you want people going around in the canoes sticking their hand out.
You don't want an alligator just like, I mean, you know, it's like 5 feet away from us. That's pretty dangerous.
That's pretty dangerous. A live alligator.
But it is Florida and like you can't, I mean, they can go in land or water, so you can't really stop them from going anywhere if they don't want to go.
That's a good point.
You know, anywhere they want to go.
Yeah.
They can, you know, they can get in without being noticed.
But you know what's really cool about you being in that area? You get to see NXT.
Yes.
And I really want to go see NXT. I remember you like even said, hey, if you can come down at a certain point, you can go.
I had an extra ticket.
I would have been there, man. I would have been there.
Like, I'm hopping on a plane.
It's like you get to go to the parks and also you get to see wrestling because Florida is a good wrestling place, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff happening.
That's where they all live.
That's where they all live. Yeah.
Do you know where Cena is?
He lives in Tampa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's got a mansion in Tampa, according to Total Divas.
I've seen pictures of his mansion. He has like a slide that goes down to the pool.
Yeah,
in his house.
Did you see the episode of Total Divas when Daniel Bryan and Brie went to the house?
Yeah.
Went to the house and spent a few days at Cena's house.
What?
And then they switched and Nikki and John Cena went to Daniel Bryan's house and like I think they only lasted like 10 minutes and they're like, we're gonna go get a hotel or something.
Oh
like
this
God.
Is the one where they had to
they can't even deal with it.
It's like his childhood home. He still lives there and John Cena lives in a mansion.
Yeah. This is the episode where they had to like cut wood.
Yeah.
Right? Whoever's gonna make
that was
dinner.
Super
like
contrived
that.
Thing yeah, where they cut wood and like John Cena and Daniel Bryan took off their shirts and were chopping wood.
Who's the real lumberjack now?
I think Daniel Bryan fixed that though, man. He chopped the wood all slow.
He's like a living lumberjack.
But yeah, man, we get to go. I try to go to every NXT taping. My son Ollie, who's 7, is huge fan, and I almost feel bad. Like the Royal Rumble is going to be in Orlando in January, so like we're gonna go. Like,
you gotta go.
The Royal Rumble. My wife and I, it's like our favorite. You know, it's our favorite like pay per view is a Royal Rumble. So mm-hmm. We've never been to a Royal Rumble. It's amazing. So, you know, I feel bad for him. Like I said, we're going to be like all far away. And he's never been to wrestling where he wasn't right up close 10, 15 feet from the ring.
See, that's the tough part now because that's the same thing with me and Ring of Honor. It's like, unless I'm at that Ring of Honor, five rows back or three rows back, it's like, you know.
My theory is I want to see like the facial expressions. Like if I can't see the facial expressions and I'm far back and I'm only seeing like an ant wrestle, I just can't enjoy it as much. I don't want to look up at a screen. Yeah, I'd rather watch it on TV.
Yeah, I'm used to, I mean, you know, maybe the first, let's say, I don't know, 15, maybe we're coming up on like 20 years of me watching wrestling. You know, I had only ever seen live wrestling from far away, you know, the first time we went to a house show at the Verizon Center, which was the MCI Center then, and
I still call it the MCI Center.
We were literally the last row.
The last row.
I've been on the last row for Bon Jovi concert.
Nice.
I was at the last row for Starcade when it was like Sting versus Hogan.
Oh, you were there. That's so cool. That's so cool.
Last row sucks because no one's even behind you.
It was last row above the entrance. Like before the final match, we were just like, screw it, let's just like go down.
That's weird. We did above the entrance, but we were close. We were closer. This was Backlash 2000.
Ooh. The Rock won the belt on that, didn't he?
Rock won the belt.
I was there at that.
And I guess a week or two before the show, they were like, hey, we got more tickets available.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess they had released they figured out what their setup was going to be for the screen and their big stage setup with the swinging hooks.
Yeah, yeah.
The Backlash hooks.
I remember that.
And they released some tickets and like they put us right above the thing, and it actually ended up being a pretty cool spot to watch the ring. You couldn't see anything
Like that's
happening in the entrance. And I think they had a hardcore match that took place directly below us, and we couldn't see any
just
of
like
it.
I got or the monitors.
Yeah,
either unless or you got those little ones on the roof.
I don't think they had those then.
See, that's pointless if they don't have that.
So we could, but we could see the ring very well, and that was what we cared about.
But now, and, now we're at that like we have that. We're so used to like the NXT side or the Ring of Honor where you're like right there,
right there, and like you can smell the sweat.
Yeah,
and.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And NXT does house shows all over Florida, too, which now they're starting to travel. And I don't know if you've watched like the last few episodes of NXT, but every time they mention Brooklyn.
The Brooklyn show, yeah.
They mention the Brooklyn show, and then the NXT crowd in Orlando in at Full Sail boos like crazy. Because
territorial.
Because all of the specials have been in...
Like outside in, of
have
the
been,
Full
Well, they've
Sail.
All been in Full Sail. And this is the first one that's going to be outside, and they're going to miss it. Like, they're not... And I'm just bummed. Like, I'm not going to get to go. I wanted to go.
Yeah.
I wanted to see the next special, and, like, I'm not going to recount it now, but I have this, like, really horrible story about how I missed the last special, and I didn't get to go to it. But, you know, so I was really excited. Like, okay, we'll go to the next one. And then, like, the next one's in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn? Yeah. Did you attempt to try that?
Denied.
I attempted it.
Because now it's sold out.
I got denied by my wife. So she's like, no, you can't go. I tried to, like, turn it into a work trip. I really tried hard to make it a work trip. And then,
you
like...
You can't fool her.
Well, no. I mean, I was legitimately trying to make it a work trip because then I wouldn't have to fool anybody.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Yeah,
I could write it off.
Really?
But I, you know, and then today I had a really cool idea for like how to turn it into a work trip, but it's like, it's sold out. It's like in 2 weeks. Like, I'm just gonna, and I've already got like travel planned the day after SummerSlam. I'm coming back up to the DC area. And so I'm like,
it's not that far.
But, and I'm like, I already got the flight booked. And so I'm like, I'll just watch it on TV like everybody else. But I had a really sweet WrestleMania experience this year, so I can't really.
Yeah, you gotta give some to other
I had
people.
Basically the best like week ever in San Jose, and so I can't really complain about it.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
I got to live vocariously for your photos. Yeah. It was like, Ben's gonna be there at WrestleMania, yeah. So I always kept checking in on what you were up to.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean,
And you even knew, like, what was happening before certain wrestlers were coming out, because you got a glimpse of, like, the behind-the-scenes area. So, like, I knew which matches were up next, because watching your feed.
I was trying to, like, spoil it on Twitter. Like, so, where we were sitting...
Like, oh, man, this is next.
Where we were sitting was, like, these improvised, like, folding chairs that were kind of down, like, we're on the field, sort of, but still up on a... was still up on a riser, you know, so we were up... high enough that we could still kind of see the ring. But what we were very close to the stage. We were right near the corner of the stage. If you're looking at the stage, it's the left side.
Yeah, like you already showed pictures of Rusev in his tank with the
flag.
I was like, oh man, he has a tank coming out.
They had the tanks coming out and everything. And, you know, we could see them setting everything up to go up on the stage. And there was a little curtain and we could kind of see behind the curtain.
That's
like who
cool
was coming
to
out
see
next.
That.
Like I saw... Like, before the Undertaker and Bray Wyatt match, I saw, like, Bray pacing. Like, he's just back behind the curtain pacing back and forth, like, trying to get in character and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. So we always kind of knew what was coming up next. And we got to see... So when we first walked down to our seats, we see a whole bunch of people milling around. They're just talking, you know, down on the field in front of the stage just talking. And I'm looking and I'm like, okay, so there's Matt Bloom, Prince Albert, I can't think of his name now.
How's he look like?
Finn Balor. Oh, Finn Balor standing there. Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch are just standing there. They're all talking. And then at different points, like the, you know, more people or less people would come out and just kind of stand. And all of the NXT people watched the whole show from directly in front of us. They're just standing
just
in their
watching.
Suits.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I posted some pictures on like Twitter, but they're just watching, you know, the WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And they're standing like, you know, 10 feet in front of me. And I tried to get like an autograph from like Finn Balor. I was like, Finn Balor, can I get an autograph? He's like, no, no. Like,
he's like, please.
He's like, if I give you an autograph, I've got to give these other 79,000 people an autograph.
Yeah. But that's still pretty cool though, man.
And so he's sitting in front of us the whole time. And then, right before the big battle royal, because Hideo Itami was in it, the entire like NXT roster came out.
Ooh.
And so like Kevin Owens came out and Sami Zayn came out.
What? Even Kevin and... Oh, that's great,
man. So Kevin came out sporadically throughout the show, but But Finn, Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, and Matt Bloom stood out there and watched the whole show standing. They stood.
They just stood?
They stood for 5 hours and watched that whole show.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And then,
but also, this like that's probably like their first WrestleMania too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, it's their first WrestleMania, and so you know they're just sitting there watching, and for I imagine there were other people on the other side where I couldn't see the other side of the stage, so I think there was a back because that's where all the wrestlers were leaving through after their match was over. They come down the stage and they'd leave on the other side from where I was. So on our side, we had like the wrestlers' families would come out, and for each match, like they would come out our side and they'd go and sit, and they had special seats. I guess, you know, they probably had like 5 or 10 seats that were just for family members of the match that's happening right now. So you'd see, you know, a bunch of people in Rusev shirts go out before the Rusev match, and then they'd all come back, and then whoever the next match, you'd see a bunch of people in like those shirts.
So they just rotate them in.
Yeah, they just rotated them in. And I saw, you know, I think, you know, I saw Michelle McCool go out.
Oh, cool.
You know,
and
before
like,
the Undertaker,
match.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. And then
that's my leg.
And then what else did we see that was really cool? Before the Sting match, the Sting and Triple H match, basically like the entire WWE locker room came out.
Really?
And like I saw, like I'm looking around, like there's Christian, like he stood like right in front of me, and then I see this guy jump over the railing and sit like in an empty seat, like two rows in front of us. And he like looks over this lady. He's like, "Hey, is it okay if I sit here?" And she's like, "Okay." And I'm like, he's got a towel over his head, and it's like freaking Dolph Ziggler. He had jumped over the railing and he just sat down in this seat like next to some lady, like two rows in front of me.
Did she know it was Dolph?
I'm sure she knew it was Dolph. She's
That's
watching.
A towel.
He had just, I mean, I don't
he
know.
Had just he's wrestled trained. In the ladder match.
Yeah.
And so he had just wrestled in the ladder match. He's like got a towel over his head, and then like, you know, because he's all sweaty and stuff. Yeah. He hadn't changed yet. He just wanted to come out and see the damn match.
That's all. That's cool. See, that's also surprising, too, because it's like, you know, a lot of times you think they just watch it in the back, but I guess they want to go out there and, well, like, they feel the energy.
For
of
that
it.
One was, like, a really special thing. I think, you know, like, it seemed like that was really special. A lot of people came out just for that one.
Because it is special. It's, like, Sting's first match to be in WWE.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it was really cool. And then, like, I don't know. That story with Dolph is, like, the coolest thing that's ever happened.
Imagine that person.
Yeah, she's like, she was probably freaking out.
And you got to be near Christian. Isn't Christian one of your top guys?
Dude, Christian. Yeah, and I got to meet him at Access also.
You did?
Yeah, I was in line to meet Sami Zayn and Charlotte, and I looked over, and I'm like, that's... And he was like off in the distance, and I was talking to my friend Elliot. And I'm like, I think that's Christian. And he's like, what? I don't care. And I'm like, dude, I've got to go. I can't not... If I got a chance to meet Christian, I have to take it.
Yeah.
So I went over and
so who do your kids like?
So my oldest, he's like kind of not that into wrestling, but he likes John Cena.
Okay.
Oh. And,
well, I mean, it's age appropriate.
That makes sense though.
It's okay.
John Cena is okay.
So he's not a bad dude.
Yeah. So I took him to an NXT house show. That was like the first thing. I'm like, look, dude, here's like, this is the thing. Like, you can cheer for whoever you want. Like, don't like let anybody tell you who you can or can't cheer for. If it's a good guy or if it's a bad guy, you can cheer and boo whoever you want. And it doesn't have to be the same people I like. You pick, like, it's, you know, that's what wrestling's all about.
Yeah.
And then he's like, and he's like, well, I like John Cena. I'm like, okay, well, why do you like John Cena? He's like, well, he's like the best one, right? I'm
like, just by default.
I'm like, I guess that kind of makes sense, dude, right?
The only one that people know.
And
sometimes.
Then so my but he's not too into wrestling so much, but my son Ollie is way into wrestling, and he loves Finn Balor. He's got a Finn Balor shirt. He loves Enzo and Big Cass.
They are awesome.
Who's that?
From NXT.
Not
Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy.
Doesn't like, what's her name?
And Carmella.
He doesn't like Carmella?
He's okay with Carmella, but he loves, because when they come out, they have like, he's
been
to so many other live shows,
talk, right?
And they have this big like monologue, opening chant monologue thing that everybody does along with them. And
sort of like the New Age Outlaw, that's how they had their thing.
Yeah.
But like a longer version of it.
It's super long. And he stands up and he does the whole thing. And it's like,
aww.
He loves this. And who else is he like? He really likes I don't know. He likes
Sami
Zayn.
Is it just it's all just NXT people?
Well,
that's all he sees.
Yeah,
right?
He really loves NXT, and I think he I'm trying to think of who he
does
likes.
He likes Samoa Joe.
He's okay with Samoa Joe. He's seen Samoa Joe wrestle like 3 or 4 times now.
Yeah.
So
and your daughter likes Seth Rollins.
She's obsessed with Seth Rollins.
Oh,
although
that's
she's
a good
kind
choice,
of
though.
She's kind of like dismayed that he's like. He's like growing his streak out. Like it's not,
what?
Yeah, but she got to meet him at Awesome Con, and like, she's.
Do you think she's just like in love with those like 200 pieces of hair? That's like his streak.
I think part of it is that like it's like.
I feel like he would cut it out at this point. You know, what I mean?
It's still like just kind of hanging
it's
on.
It's always
there.
Just been like on that far edge at this. You know, what I mean?
Maybe he's now. Just like letting it go, and then he'll re-dye the top part.
So she met him, and then a you know.
How did she treat that anyway? Like, was it a surprise for her? Did you tell her?
Well,
that
I told
she was
going to meet him. She was wearing her Seth Rollins shirt, and then she went up and met him and took a picture, and then like she was acting all weird. Oh, and Seth Rollins said like quote. He's like, she's cute as shit. And like, that's exactly what he said. And it was cool.
You know what's awesome? Did you ever see, I don't know if you saw it because you left immediately for vacation, but did you ever see the montage that I did with the Jimmy Jacobs girl and your daughter with Seth Rollins?
I feel like it sounds familiar, but I don't know.
Okay, I'll have to like resend it to
okay.
you. Because it's like the cutest thing ever. There's like this girl that's like the Jimmy Jacobs girl online. She's like a little kid, like your daughter's age, and she's like dressed like Jimmy Jacobs with Jimmy Jacobs. Oh. And then I like put your daughter's picture like next to that with Seth Rollins, and she's wearing her Seth Rollins shirt. It's like the cutest thing
that's awesome.
On the internet.
There's
like, totally amazing.
There's this little girl who's like, I don't know, probably 10 years old at the every NXT taping, and she sits right in the corner like nearest to the ring and the ring and the ramp, and she like cosplays as Bailey.
Oh, and I've seen her.
Oh my
seen
god,
her, yeah.
I need to find
because I've
pictures
seen,
of this
I
girl
saw,
because that looks in I my s- head super cute.
I saw Bailey post about that.
She's at every show.
I saw like Bailey like posted that like she was there for like the first match, so she's seen her change, and when she finally like won.
Yeah.
Like, she was, like, crying?
This girl was crying. So, like, the...
Oh, my God. That's so cute.
The...
I need to look at that.
So, I'm... So, what was it? Wednesday? So, like, they just had an episode. So, they just had an episode. Okay. So, I haven't seen it on TV, but I know what happens because I was there.
Yeah.
And so, basically, what happened was Bailey, she won a match a few weeks ago, and then she demanded a match against Charlotte because she wanted to be, like, the best, right?
Yeah.
So, she beat Charlotte, and then William Regal gave her a match with Becky Lynch to see which of them would face Sasha at the
Brooklyn
special.
Yeah.
So she beat Becky Lynch. And so she's going, you know, so she's got a title match. And I think she's going to win because Sasha's all up in Raw now.
Yeah.
Right. And she's, for my money, she's, her and Paige are the best.
She's
are
the
best two wrestler women wrestlers.
She's
up
the
there.
Next deserving for
yeah.
that spot, right?
Yeah. And so I think.
She's the boss.
You know, so I think. Yeah, I freaking love Sasha, dude. I need to get one of her
Sasha's,
t-shirts.
I want to get one of the Team Bad shirt, too.
No. I
no, you want
her.
Just the boss?
Yeah, I
want
to get the boss, the gold shirt, yeah.
I'll get both of them. This is pretty good. Those are good shirts.
The Team Bad.
I'll get Team Bad.
Beautiful and dangerous.
Beautiful.
I'll get that shirt. It's awesome. It's silver, too.
I love Sasha. She's so good.
Remember, we were talking about that like right at the beginning. Like, we're like, dude, that's Sasha. There's something about Sasha Banks that's awesome.
She's
just by her entrance.
She's got like amazing charisma, and she's really good. It's obvious that she's really hard worker. So I'm a huge Sasha fan. I like Becky a lot, but it's at NXT.
Those are my two favorites right now.
So at NXT, I'm popping really hard, like the hardest for Tyler Breeze and Sasha.
Oh, Tyler Breeze. I haven't seen him in a while, but I like his gimmick.
He's awesome. So like I'm like crazy huge into Tyler Breeze. So
does he have cool shirts?
His shirt is awful. Or I would have bought. I
hate it when like they're a good character, but then the shirts kind
of
suck.
It's a white T-shirt and it's got pictures. It's like four pictures of him.
Of course.
And it says like, take a selfie, it'll last longer. Oh. And then it says like Tyler Breeze. And it's,
hashtag selfie.
But they had a signed Tyler Breeze like iPhone case, and I almost got that. I didn't get it.
Oh my god.
That would have been so.
Is it like covered in fur? Like
no,
fur
it was like
something?
It's the same. It's the same picture. It's like take a selfie, it'll last longer. Same picture from the shirt. But that's more appropriate on a phone, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's really cool, man. But you are, I feel like you're in a good space for all that. Like
Oh no, it's really cool.
Because I don't know how far that is from you, the full area.
It's like, I don't know, 35 minutes.
That's not bad at all.
Man, you're like intaking so much entertainment.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So what have you learned from like Disney and going to NXT and like about, I guess, showmanship that you can bring into Awesome Con?
Yeah, so like WWE and like Disney are probably like my two biggest influences for like putting on like a production. Like WWE, there isn't any company in the world that does a touring production the way WWE does,
definitely.
With the with the, like the production value they did that they have.
Yeah.
So there is nobody else that does that. They are the best in their business for that type of thing. And then, you know, I mean, like a touring production from, you know, whether it's, you know, pro football games or concerts or like the circus or Disney on Ice or any of that stuff, none of it comes close to what WWE does. They do more of it than anybody, and they do everything better.
And also their social media. I'm constantly impressed by how on top of things they are.
Their social media is amazing. I believe Joey Styles is like overall in charge of all that stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
But they've and
major
it could,
cred.
Yeah, and he's and he might have like a really fantastic vision for that type of thing. But I imagine they've got three or four really 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 great social media people working for them.
Yeah, they do. I can definitely tell like how influenced you are by those companies.
Yeah.
To like bring more value to AwesomeCon, and it is like a much enjoyable atmosphere at AwesomeCon. Like it always feels like everyone's having the time of their life.
So let the people know, man. When's the next AwesomeCon, and where can they find it?
Next AwesomeCon, it's at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center, like usual. It'll be June 3rd to 5th next year. It's the weekend after Memorial Day again, so
yeah,
and we'll be in downstairs again, but the space is gonna be broken up a little bit different because of another event that's taking place directly before ours.
So it's still is it now officially like AwesomeCon, just AwesomeCon.com now, right?
Yeah.
Just no breaks at all.
No breaks. AwesomeCon.com. We got the Twitter at AwesomeCon. This is like years in the
making.
Years
in the making just to have that.
So have those things. I figured out how to get my email changed, so I'm Ben at AwesomeCon.com now.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for being on, man.
Yeah.
I love talking about Disney because not a lot of people know that.
I'll talk about Disney forever if you
all
want.
Day
we
long.
Don't have to stop talking about Disney.
We can have a Disney podcast with Ben.
Just Ben.
Like all the time.
Well, thanks. Thanks, sir. You did it. That was awesome, man.
Oh, no problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Well, everyone, this show is brought to you by StraightProductions.com. Check them out at StraightProductions. Check out my work. Oh, StraightProductions. I reversed that. This show is brought to you by StraightProductions. Check them out at StraightProductions.com. My work is at JoeCarabello.com. Also, GoAstray.tumblr.com. And check out my films at One-Shots.com. Carolyn.
Yes.
Let them know.
All right, guys. I have a website. It's CarolynBelefsky.com. And you can also check out my comic strip. It's called Curls. You can check that out at curls-studio.com/curls. And I'm also on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all around the world. Usually just Google Carolyn Belefsky and you'll be able to find me.
And of course, this show is on Carolyn and Joe Show. I'm messing it up all over. CarolynandJoeShow.com, right?
Yeah, that's also on Stitcher and iTunes, so leave us some good feedback on there. We'd love to get more audience participation with the Carolyn and Joe Show.
That's right. And Ben, thanks again, sir.
Oh, thank you guys so much.
We'll have you on the next time you're in town when you feel like it. It's always a great time.
Stop on by anytime.
And of course, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Be excellent to each other. Just catch y'all later. Bye.